Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you. Afternoon, I guess still morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, August 2nd, ADA meeting. I'd like to call meeting to order and ask for Amy to do a roll call for the board members.
Commissioner Tandy? Here. Commissioner Crum?
Present.
Mr. Tandy?
Here.
Here. Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Vivamore?
Here.
Chair Cruz?
Here. Thank you. Before us is a proposed agenda for today.
This is Bill Kendrick. I move the Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023 agenda as presented.
This is Albert. I'll second. Any comments, additions, or questions? Any objections to accepting the agenda as proposed? Hearing and seeing none, the agenda is approved. Brings us to item number four, prior minutes, June 21st.
This is Bill Kendrick. I move to prior minutes of June 21st, 2023.
This is Albert. I'll second. Any comments, discussion? Corrections on our minutes? Hearing and seeing none, without objection, the minutes are approved. Brings us up to item number five, public comments. Remind everybody, if you make a more public comment, please limit to 2 minutes. And for the record, please name and affiliation if you have one. Anybody in the boardroom want to make a public comment? Rainey, is anybody online?
If there are any members online that wish to make a public comment, please press star 9 on your phone now. You will be recognized in the order that you call. Please clearly state your name and your affiliation if you have one. Chair, there are no members on the line.
All right. Thank you. Let me know if someone pops up a little bit later. I'll close public comment session. Brings us to item number six, new business, and A is X presentation. Randy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a representative from HEC to give us an update on their work in the inlet and status of their findings.
So, Randy, for the record, would you please state what HEC is, who they are, what they do, what's the affiliation with AS?
Sure. So HEC is a company operating in the inlet, producing oil and gas, and we are a lender to HEC, and HEC has done a good job paying off its obligations to ADA and producing jobs and resources, which is our mission. So they've done a great job, Mr. Chair.
Okay. How long have they been in business?
Good question. I think it's been 5 years, 6 years? A little less.
I'm sorry?
HEC actually would be about 3 years when HEC is formed for the bankruptcy, the purchase period.
Sure.
And who's our guest?
Well, that's going to be Mr. Hendricks. He's not able to make it. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm Mark Slaughter. I'm the director of Mark Slaughter with HEC or Fury. I'm the director of marketing for Fury. I've been with Fury since production started in November of 2015. If you want me to just go ahead and start, what we wanted to just do was a brief update to ADA. John Hendricks, unfortunately, is not able to be here today due to he's down at the courthouse where we have a ongoing litigation in the state of Alaska over property tax assessments, and today's the closing arguments. So he expressed his regrets for not being here today, but otherwise he would be here to make this presentation.
Well, John was here. We all hear him very clearly. So the best thing I would ask you to do is for the record, so people have an idea. any background information that you can give would be appreciated. As you talk through what you're doing, what you, you know, where you started up from, where you're at now, where you want to go.
Okay. So to begin with, it's very important for John is that Hex, Cook Inlet, and its subsidiaries, we are the only 100% owned, Alaska-owned natural gas, oil and gas company in the industry. John lives in Anchorage. He's a Homer, raised in Homer. His mom, as she likes to point out, she's still in Homer. I think she just turned 90 this year. But he has deep roots in the state, and he's very extremely proud to be an Alaskan, working in the oil and gas industry, producing gas for Alaskans. And that's something that you want to definitely convey, that we're very appreciative of Ada's support of his purchasing of the company, and that, again, he expresses his regrets for not being here. So this is just a brief overview of the companies. John owns Hex LLC, which then subsequently owns Hex Cook Inlet and the other companies. Hex was formed as to purchase the Fury assets during the bankruptcy. Fury, from the prior ownership, went into bankruptcy in August of 2019. It was a Chapter 11 reorganization that really should have been a Chapter 7, but because of state tax credits, made it a much more complex and longer process for the sale. John was able to successfully purchase Fury after multiple rounds of bidding and closed on the company in June 30th of 2020. And so what he purchased with Fury assets are the kitchen lights unit. It's the largest unit in Cook Inlet. It's all offshore. It's about 83,000 acres. We only produce natural gas, and we sell to all the electric utilities and NSTAR, and also to Marathon Petroleum Company, the refinery on the Kenai. So essentially any industrial user of natural gas is a customer of ours. The next slide just shows our position in the inlet for the kitchen lights unit, and it's... The unit itself, we have one platform. It's the newest platform in Cook Inlet. It's very small, as you can see from that picture as it scrolls by.
That really to be drinking, Ramey. What's going on here?
The platform itself has six slots for wells. We currently have four wells that have been drilled and produced from. At the time of the purchase, the A4 well was not in production. Prior operator ownership had left a dual string stuck in there and were not able to get it out of the well. Under the new ownership in 2020, and I believe it was August of 2020, they were able to get into that well and restart production. We had all four wells running through February of this year when the A1 well sanded up. And currently we are working on two of the four wells are being worked over this summer.
Do you have to bring the work over again?
Yeah, we are working with PESI, which is an Alaska company. They brought in a hydraulic workover rig out of Canada because there wasn't one available. They also brought one up that now another producer in the inlet is using also over on the west side. We started that work in early June. There were delays due to weather. If you remember, start of the summer was not very conducive. And so working on the platform, there's just a lot more challenges with logistics. And then we have a very small platform to work off of. So we currently have about 25 people out there, and there's beds for, I believe, 26 people. So it's very crowded, very full right now. And I want to also point out on this slide is where the platform is located, that kind of that red center dot where it says Corsair Block. We are only accessing within that unit, you know, the reach from that platform is about 2 miles. So there's a very small portion of the unit that currently we have production from. We would like to be able to do additional exploration, additional drilling, because we do believe that there's additional gas out there in Cook Inlet. It's just, we're working to resolve some issues, get the, as John likes to point out, the foundation of the company fixed, and that's part of the reason for that lawsuit on property tax. But once that's, we get some of those foundational issues resolved, then we're able to move forward with additional development within the unit. The next slide is just the highlights of
page four.
Okay. And that's just pointing out again that ADA provided a $7.5 million loan in 2020. Fury has been consistent, regularly paying that loan. The balance right now is only $343,000. And we will pay that off shortly. Essentially, we're just waiting for the state to pay tax credits that are owed to Fury, and we don't want to put the other parties that are with the beneficiaries, ING or ECP, the costs for the attorneys to rewrite the agreements are just, it's not worth it, so we'll wait for the state payments, which we believe are coming, have been told soon, as in next month, this month timeframe. The jobs has been a key area. When he purchased Fury, I was the only Alaskan employee at the time. It was all run from folks from out of state. Management was out of state. Operators on the platform were being flown up from Louisiana and Texas, and the company was paying for that. That since he stopped that. Everyone, we have one person who we kept over as an employee, and he now pays for his flights back and forth, but everyone else are all locals. People live on the Kenai Peninsula or Anchorage or the Valley who live and work, and the jobs are now staying in Alaska, and that's very key for the company, is to be Alaskan-focused. Benefits to the state, we were paying 12.5% royalties on our leases. Property taxes are at 20 mils, but as we alluded to, we have a dispute with the state. The state assessment is at $81 million. We believe it's significantly less than the $20 million range. So we're trying to get that corrected, and we'll see how the lawsuit progresses. And then we also put every month we put 12.5 cents per MCF is deposited into a dismantlement and removal fund, a sinking fund, to pay for future removal of the platform if that time ever comes. The next slide is just a chart that reflects the employment numbers for Fury. The little blue line and the very on the far left is. It shows just the number of outside non-Alaskans, and then myself as the one Alaskan employee, and then you can see how the blues numbers have significantly increased with Alaskan ownership. And we do have three outside employees who reside outside but work for us, who are geologists, geophysicists, and one is a previously mentioned operator. But it's been a key point of pride is to have Alaskans working for Fury instead of how the prior management and ownership ran the company. The last slide, slide six, is things we've already touched on, but that we have four out of six possible wells. We're currently reworking two of the four wells that workovers are expected to cost in the nature of $8 million this summer, so that's not inconsequential to us. In 2021, we were the largest investor of Cook Inlet leases, and in 2022, we were the only buyer of leases. We did not participate in the 2023 sale just because we've got positions that we're comfortable with Some of the leases we picked up are under HECS, and those are onshore leases. So we're looking to potentially diversify the position of the company in the future. And then a key piece of our success the last 2 years is working with DEC. We have a water disposal permit where we're able to take produced water from the Sterling zones, which are very wet, and we now process that water and dispose of it from the platform. So like the one well that currently is producing from the Sterling, it produces about 1,400 barrels of water a day that we process, treat, and clean up, and then dispose of it at the platform. The previous operators sent that gas through the gabbing line, and that contributed to the hydrate formation in January 2018 that led to the bankruptcy. And so we don't allow that much water down the pipe, the gathering line anymore. And then the final point is that we are still working with the state on various issues. As John mentions, anytime you probably talk to him about fixing foundational issues, we've fixed a lot of the internal issues that he identified once he purchased the company, but now it's, you know, property taxes, there's overriding royalties that are being contested, and then some other issues with the state that we're currently working through. And if we are able to resolve those issues in a meaningful and timely manner, we believe that we're going to be able to go forward and do additional development within the inlet. And the final item is just that we are financially healthy and a fiscally prudent operator. As you can see from our loan, that we've paid that regularly, and you know, we've paid it down from the 7.5 down to $340,000 at this point. So with that, that's just the brief update we wanted to provide. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer anything.
Thank you. Randy?
So thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. Do you have any data on your contractors and their employees as far as Alaska residents and non-residents?
Most of the Pepsi contractors, there are Canadians, since it's a Canadian company, Pepsi is the Alaskan company, but then it's Team Snubbing, which is the Canadian company. The actual numbers, I don't have those off the top of my head, but I'm happy to provide those. And then there are monthly data. We provide data. We provide employment numbers of contractors and Alaskans.
And that'd be interesting.
I could get that information for Jeff.
So,
thanks. Mr. Chairman, I just want to highlight this has been a great success story for not only HEX but ADA, and it came in probably one of the roughest times during COVID, and being able to take a company that was not owned and operated by Alaskans and bringing it back to Alaska and hiring Alaskans is a really important feature that I think you should be proud of. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And we want to, again, really express our appreciation of Ada taking the support of John of HECS to go forward with that acquisition, because it was critical. And as you point out, during that COVID, it was a very difficult time to get anything done in 2019-2020.
So with the hydraulic drillers and whatnot, so what's the long-range plan for the operation? What reserves are anticipated for how long, and what is the space of investing $8 million, I guess, is what you kind of like bringing out of your conversation here?
The workovers are really designed to just get us through the winter. If you look at the potential probable decline rates, it's just going to get us through the winter to get us poised for next summer. We want to be able to have, our plans are to have, if we can secure time on the jackup rig for next summer, then we would do a sidetrack and possible new grassroots well. And that's, you know, $30, $40 million for a new well out there. So that's what we're working on. We've spent the past year with the reprocessing of seismic, designing or identifying targets, and we're in the process of finalizing that, and then if we can secure financing, then go forward with that and secure time on the rig. And so we would anticipate, once we conclude this loan agreement, that we would be back in front of VITA with a proposal of what we would like to be doing with the kitchen lights unit.
Okay. Further questions? Julie, Adam?
Nothing from me, thanks.
No, I appreciate the presentation, and I like the fact that John is really focused on making Alaska Hire a key priority.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and give John our best, and keep her in Alaska.
Okay. We will. Thank you.
Okay, so next up, Randy.
Next up, Chair, is movement into executive session for discussion of some loan modifications and same holdings.
See where we're at. I lost it. All right, so the Chair will entertain a motion to go to executive session, confidential closing matters related to Blue Crest loan, modification extension, Mustang Holdings, bank services, investment discussion, matters related to the Ambler Road.
This is Bill Kendrick. I move the board go to executive session to discuss matters listed in Alaska Statute 44-62-310C, which includes matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of ADA, personal matters, matters which by law are required to be confidential, and matters involving consideration of government records that are not required to be disclosed under the Alaska Public Records Act, as well as matters subject to attorney-client privilege. Each of these matters in the executive session is supported by the Open Meetings Act, reference to Alaska Statute 44-62-310C, 1, 3, and 4.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you, Albert. Thank you, Bill. All right. Randy, would you pull the board, please?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Kendrick?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Vivemore?
Yes.
Chair Cruz?
Yes.
Chair Crum, Chair.
Thank you. All right. We'll go ahead. Randy, what do you want to...
Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you. I'll advise the public that the board did not take any actions on matters discussed while in executive session. And our session was limited to a discussion of matters directly protected by public disclosure by the Open Meeting Act. All right. So with the board's indulgence or disagreement, I would like to postpone C for a few minutes while the modification is completed, and go to item 7, director's comments. Is there an objection to that on the agenda? Hearing none, Randy, item 7A, IGU.
Thank you, Chair. So IGU has approached ADA with a request for consent to draw on a letter of credit, basically, to continue to build out their system in Fairbanks and for moving the gas, trucking the gas from the slope.
Say that again now. They want to do what?
They need, under the agreement with ADA, for IGU to enter into a loan or increased letter of credit request with a bank, even they have to get a consent from ADA. Because we're a secured party, we have to consent to any additional securities and debt being entered into. And so we're working with Dan Britton at IGU. There's a couple of things he needs to get to us on paperwork, but we've had several meetings with him. I think that's all going to be fine. We'll give our consent, and I think it's McKinley Bank that
Those are
I think it's a bank in Fairbanks that will then provide some financing for IGU.
So how much?
I believe it's $10 million.
And what?
So I guess they're
pro forma?
Yes.
So IGU has met their pro forma?
Yes. And we're not subordinating, we're just approving their...
Correct.
Well, it's additional debt, which, you know, increases the exposure to ADA.
Right. And the public. But it doesn't change. Yeah. So that's occurring. Ketchikan Shipyard.
How much is the debt for?
The debt's for, I believe, 3 years.
Okay.
And for expansion and for the trucking project?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had a chance to read this. So if I read this project, this report, is it going to tell me that they met their performance?
I don't know that that's expressly stated in the report, Chair, but... something we could add.
Well, I mean, there's a performa, and then there's a, you know, there's a, if they don't meet the performa, they either got more customers than they anticipated or got less, which is the cash flow issue, right?
I know they beat it last year, their new customer target. Right. I'm not sure.
That would be really good to know.
Right.
What's that?
Okay, come on up, Josie.
Hi, Chair. This is Josie Wilson, Communications. Hi. I came in specifically for you. So that is our standard quarterly IEP report that's required by the legislature per our statute. I think we only have about a year or two left on that statute requirement to provide that. We get all the information from IGU directly. They make edits to the previous report, and they send it to us, and then we review it. In that report does have their goal for 2023 of how many conversions and how many customers they plan on trying to convert this year, and then every report has their number to date of how they're doing on that goal.
So...
I'm, of course, Chair, not an expert at IGU.
I'm looking on page 13. So the original loan was, financing was based on a Cardinal projection, if I remember right. And in FY23, they projected 10,805 conversions or customers. IGU project, for some reason, IGU's got their own projection now, which they must have changed from Cardinal, because that's what they gave us originally.
Correct.
2,100. And there's 2,400. So to me, that looks like between the professionals who put this original thing together for IGU, they're about 8,000 short. So no, they're not even meeting the original projections of the terms of the loan and the investment.
Well, I think they may be short of the conversion, but if I understand the math that we went through with Dan, they're still within the debt-to-asset ratio that would qualify them for obtaining our consent.
So that Cardinal number goes back to 2014?
Yeah, I mean, it's been updated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the loan was originally, the investment was originally, and I'm just trying to understand this. You know, it's... That's a big split between, it's 25% of what the original updated version is. So I don't quite understand. I guess I'd ask if you could get a clarification why is there an IGU projection that started in 2019? Looks like 2019 IGU and the actuals were the same, so they took the actuals, and then they went from there, and they slowed down the projections way different than what the consultant did. And if, you know, if they're probably looking at this, I would kind of question what, you know, now you want to do $10 million in additional debt.
Sure.
And your conversions from projections to your IGU's projections to what the actuals are roughly 10% more. So that's good. But if you look in for next year, it really takes close to 2,100, 2,700.
I think their ability to store gas, yeah. Right? So the big tank, the big 5 million gallon storage tank, allowed them to start taking on new customers, which would have happened a couple of years ago, which is the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And if I would direct you to page 12 under anticipated conversions, there is some explanation around their change in projected willingness to convert.
It's tied to heating oil prices. What is that up there, Bill? Is it cheaper to go by natural gas or oil? Is that going to be the same when they come down from the North Slope?
I believe so. There's not a significant change there, if any.
It's higher, for sure. The traffic on the North Slope, then there's some.
But the gas is cheaper, trucking, transportation, mm-hmm. Oil, right?
Anyway.
One of the presentations that they gave us at either last meeting or the meeting before that, I do recall that the organization was talking about how the Fort Wayne EIS has recommended natural gas. And so if that record of decision gets put into place, there will be a demand for natural gas on the base, and that will also, I think, stimulate this opportunity as well.
Well, if the cash flow covers it, then that's great. But again, it's one of those deals where mm-hmm. I think there was 1,200 customers when this all started for Fairbanks Central Gas, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. That sound about right, Bill?
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Well, no, when the IG was formed, when they combined them.
Just to Mr. Chair, just to be clear for the board, we did walk through
all the requirements for making the consent with the attorneys and both sides and the parties. So we have covered all the terms of the agreement in granting consent, which will be given here shortly. Soon. We're just waiting on a little bit of paperwork. So we have thoroughly walked through the agreements.
Okay.
Other items, Mr. Chair, the Ketchikan Shipyard. Visited the shipyard, talked to some of the managers there. It's a bit, the level of business at the shipyard has been a concern for years, continues to be a concern. And, there's a couple things with the current operator that we need to address. And one of those is the qualifications for Coast Guard, NOAA, other work other than the marine highways. And then fabrication work that could be possible. So we're working with them, trying to find ways to get some more business in the shipyard. The operator's concerns or statements are that it's difficult because of the lack of workforce. But we're going to stay with it, try to get as much business as we can.
Careful what you ask for us. Thank you. Appreciate your help.
So we'll keep you posted on the ship here. Given Member Crum's time crunch, Chair, should we stop this discussion for a vote on the resolution?
Well, so you're doing the Ketchikan. Let's finish Ketchikan first.
Okay. So bottom line with Ketchikan, Chair, is that the operator's agreement is up, I think, in a year and a half. And we want to, as we're doing with banking, as we're doing with investments, we're looking at the RFPs and the contracts as they come up and trying to make improvements for the benefit of ADA and for the benefit of generating more jobs. And so we'll be looking at that contract and developing an RFP or RFI, probably maybe both. But we're going to put some specifics in it that will help ensure that we get a operator that can make the maximum use of the shipyard.
All right.
McCushion, do you have
enough? We're going to go back.
Sure.
We're going to stop there. So, all right. So let's, with the board's indulgence and acceptance, I'd like to go back to under new business item number C, Resolution 2309. Randy?
Sure, Mr. Chair. This is the resolution that would approve the loan modification as requested but amended by staff to a six-month term rather than a year. And it has several conditions to that modification, including a condition that the company Bluecrest start work on the repair of the rig, or they do not get the year-long extension that they're seeking. They would be limited to a six-month extension.
All right. So this is basically a year extension with a six-month check. And after 6 months, if it's the top-end drive is not, work is not completed, it goes to a six-month loan extension instead of a 12-month.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Sorry.
Completed in 6 months or started in 6 months?
Completed.
Is that what you understood, Randy? Completed?
Completed in 6 months?
Yeah.
That's what we understood.
Okay. Question, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Okay. So that's not delineated in here, but it is under your authorization as ED to complete those negotiations that are listed in the board minutes.
Member Ellis, that's correct.
There's no minutes in executive session.
Member Ellis, that's correct, and that is how I will implement those terms.
Okay. Thank you.
So for the public, the resolution is slightly modified from what was originally put in the packet. Is that correct, Randy?
That's correct, Chair.
All right. Would you speak to the changes?
Okay. Sure. So the main change, Chair, members of the board, is that conditions that will attach to the modification have been amended. It will be a one-year potential loan modification period, depending on the condition being met that the rig is completely inspected and repaired fully at the end of a six-month period. So it's a conditional, there's a condition that has to be met to get to the full year loan modification.
Okay, so that's the difference in the resolution? No, that's generally not the difference.
Excuse me?
That's not the difference of the resolution. That last page is the same as the last paragraph in the original resolution.
Well, so the difference, if you're comparing the two resolutions.
That's the original that's in the board packet, first of all, which has changed.
Got it. Thank you, sir. So the original resolution that was in the board packet stated that the executive director would impose a six-month term, hard stop, no opportunity to get to a year. The payment amounts would be the $25,000 principal and $100,000 interest. And this resolution, as amended, deletes that reference that was in the original resolution and simply authorizes me to execute final amendments to the loan agreement and promissory note as part of my discretion. I will exercise my discretion to reflect the terms that the board has approved.
So the interest was $25,000, plus if they want it 1 year, then they have to fix the top drive.
Correct.
All right. Okay. All board members understand that? I'll take a motion and put it on the floor.
This is Bill Kendig. I move resolution number 23-09.
Bill Vivelmar, second the motion.
Further discussion? Randy?
No, I don't have anything, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Randy, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Kendi?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel? Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Lieblemore?
Yes.
Chair Pruce?
Yes.
Commissioner.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go back to item 7 on our agenda. Do we finish with the Ketchikan Shipyard, Randy?
We are.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how many people are working down there on that?
At the time I was there, I think the employee count was 82.
82. Okay. And what's the goal?
I think the goal, full employment, would be more than double that, I believe.
All right.
So,
I think the last time we set metrics, we were looking at between 125 and 150, depending on annual revenue.
Okay.
And that was full time.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. That brings us to item C, Milishkin MD.
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the board, staff and myself have been working with the project sponsor of the Mikushin Geothermal Project for a couple of months. We are making progress in defining the resource and the operations and then the fiscal modeling and the tax credits. Those are all areas that we're working together with the experts for the project sponsor. We're making progress. We thought we had a really good grip on the tax credits, and then the Treasury pulled back all their guidance and basically started over. But some of the changes they're making may be beneficial. There may now be a possibility to get progress payments on tax credits. So as you're building road or you're building another part of the project, you can apply for a credit and get a progress payment. So that would be a good benefit for the project. We're continuing to work on it. I've got a meeting today with the project sponsor, and I'm in close touch with him. I've met with him several times, even last week, and I think we're zeroing in on the numbers and the credits, even though Treasury pulled back their guidance.
Okay. U.S. Treasury or Alaska?
U.S. Treasury, yeah. So I think we're getting there. It's been a little tricky just because we don't have solid guidance on application of the credits, which the credits, if they stack together, could be as much as 70% of the project cost. So it's significant tax credits, and they're really important to figure out. So we're staying with it, hopefully, and we'll have some solid numbers and some solid modeling and solid reports on the resource here soon.
So my question, I guess, is you talked about working for us. It's been a few months now, like three.
Mm-hmm.
When can we expect to have a finite decision? I think it's important that not we give the project pulse clarity one way or the other.
That's right, Mr. Chair. We think we can have solid numbers, solid reports from all the experts within the next 30 days.
All right. Okay, and you just relayed that to the sponsor.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, and those experts that you referred to, Randy, they include experts that we have solicited their input that are separate and apart from the existing experts that are ongoing with the project?
Member Ellis, that's correct. They are entirely independent.
All right. AMBLER update. I'd also like to tie into AMBLER. I'd like you to add one more project. That's the Western Sitting update.
Sure.
With us right now.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. Members, so the Western Sitting Access Project, there's been a development with that project where DOT has initiated their own project to construct roughly the first 20 miles of road and the bridge over the Big Sioux. That project will qualify for public funds. It's in the STIP.
I think they've allocated 82 to 83 million to the project, to their project for that segment of the work. It'll be a multi-year effort by DOT. They have a significant amount of federal funding available to put into it. That'll be a full public access project that DOT has. ADA is continuing to work with the mine owners and the stakeholders on a access road for mine access. We've had several meetings with them, and we'll continue to develop that project as an ADA project.
You said the beginning of the project at the Big Sioux. How about, so then let's call it the end of the project over the Little Sioux. Where do we stand on that end of it?
Oh, sorry, Member Kendig, I wasn't clear. The project I think that DOT is working on will start at Ayshire and then go to the Big Sioux across
the Sioux. How far is that away from Fort Mac?
I think to get to Fort Mac, it's probably another 16 miles from Ayshire, is it?
The fairly direct route?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're continuing. We'll work with the industrial users to come up with access that works for them as well.
When did the lawsuit start?
Well, that's a good question. I imagine, you know, there is a lot of attention to the project by the environmental NGOs that are suing to stop just about anything in Alaska. So as soon as DOT initiates its NEPA process, I think they'll still have to wait for a NEPA decision. So it'll probably be, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years before the NEPA decision is out and final. That's probably when you'll see your first opportunity for litigation.
Okay.
Yep. Ambler Project Chair, continue to get out to the region, made it to an ANA board meeting, had a good meeting with ANA's board. We'll see where things go with ANA in terms of their position, but was able to explain a lot of the issues, the concerns, visit to Red Dog Mine with the board members went really well. Roughly 45 years of effort at Red Dog to develop policies to protect fish and game. I think Tech and Ann are going to provide those policies to our chairman of the Subsistence Committee and the Workforce Development Committee. And so we won't have to start from scratch. They'll be able to look at these policies that have been in place and working well at Red Dog. And that'll be a big help for them. Next meeting of those groups is in Allakaket on the 23rd and 24th. I'll be out there with them and making some good ground there.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it on Ambler for now. Chair.
Do you mind if I add a couple things?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so Randy and Commissioner Sandy and myself, we took a flight along the entire route, visited where they'll do some cultural resource stuff for the helicopter, and ended up at Fortnite at the Ambler Metals facility, and then ultimately flew up back out of that area with back to Anchorage. And it was a long one day, but it was very eye-opening for both Randy and Commissioner Sandy. I'll let Commissioner Sandy talk about her impressions of it here in a minute. That all being said, you know, it's a unique piece of Alaska. I don't want to speak for Jeff back there, but his commissioner, the helicopter, to do a video of the right-of-way for the Cineplex, both directions, so you can actually see by station each mile. Which I think will be very, very productive when it comes to actually pricing out and putting, and where you're going to put your culverts and your bridges. In addition, they've got a LIDAR, which basically takes all the vegetation out and shows the actual terrain. So you match up the LIDAR with the send us like a video, and it gives you a really good accurate presentation of where you're at. So once that's done, I think it'd be great for the board. You could actually, all 211 miles, you can put it on your computer, and you could just fly the route at 100 feet. So
yeah, that'd be great.
It helps you put bookends of what we're doing, and then what actually the, you know, where the, what I would call the sensitive areas are, be able to get to what I call typical sections, and pricing with the road. So I wanted to add that on there, Randy. I think that's important.
That's right, Chair, and I think the Cineflex video has been completed now, so we'll put it together and make it available.
What's important is the miles of station.
Correct.
Milepost 200, 100-foot stations or something. So you can actually, you can Google Earth it and say, where's that? And you just press the button and it slides you up, and now you're going in both ways, so you can see it from both angles. I think it would be very, very beneficial to you. Designing the road.
So is this internal to Ada only?
Yes. As the asset owner, yes. Now that will be shared, obviously, with whoever is, engineers and contractors and Ambler Metals itself, I assume so.
For the RFQ.
Anyway, I wanted to add that in. And Jeff and Randy did a great job of getting the schedule that went off like a vision. And then they had the best weather day ever up there. We're in short sleeves. I just saw this close to the Brooks Range for 200 miles. And I don't think there's just enough winds for most of the bugs to be down. So it was absolutely perfect. And of course, it had a lot of rain, and I thought this is how it always was the Brooks Range. Julie, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to the staff who, it's a tremendous amount of time and effort to put all those trips together, and I appreciate all of that effort, and it really was a remarkable trip, and I felt, honored to be able to see it and witness it as a Southeast kiddo. It was something I, maybe wouldn't have had an opportunity to do, but, it was really inspiring from a board member's perspective. Just, I think sometimes when we're working towards something and we have our head down, especially on the things that we sometimes get beat up about, we can lose sight of why we're continuing to work towards something. So, for me, it was really inspiring to meet some of the folks out there and to hear firsthand what those jobs will mean to the region, what the development of the vast resources will mean to the, individuals in those communities, and the life and the way that it'll improve quality of life in many ways for folks out there. That really inspired me and reminded me why we're doing what we're doing. But also just being, flying a 200-mile route, really just realizing what a small impact it will have over such a vast region, that was, that impressed me. And then also just hearing firsthand how much time, work, thought is going into the cultural preservation piece, the component of it. I felt like we're Alaskans that want to, move the economy forward, see our resources developed responsibly, but, first and foremost, we want to make sure we take care of what we're hoping to pass on to our children and grandchildren. And so for all of those reasons, I was just really proud to be a part of what I think is really great movement forward for the state of Alaska, for Alaskans and in particular folks in that region, and I just want to thank all of the ADA staff members who have been and continue to be a part of what I think is a very important project for Alaska.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, that goes to, we're going to item E, loan dashboard. Is there anything on that? For the public.
Thank you, Chair. Tiffany Jansen, Chief Lane Officer. Just wanted to go over, this is our fiscal year end, so we were able to fund more loans than the previous fiscal year while still receiving over $28 million in additional payoffs and pay downs. So that was quite a bit outside of our normal scheduled payments of about $18 million. So we did have to recover quite a bit. Still ended up in the very high 300s. And one of the things I wanted to bring also your attention to is we did also end the fiscal year with a 0% delinquency again. 0% delinquency again. And also with our pending loans, we've talked about that, of course, we see with the rates in the market right now that we do expect to receive quite a bit more from larger projects. So pending applications as of today is actually increased by a further $28 million. So that is how quickly we are moving now.
Okay. Any questions? Tiffany?
I have one. Tiffany, the collateral diversity of participation loans.
Mm-hmm.
So for my information, where would oil field fit in that? Would it be under warehouse, or where did you decide to place that?
So in this one, if we actually are, this is collateral, so not the actual repayment source, but if for the collateral, it would have to be something like an oil pad, something like that, and we don't have currently anything on the portfolio like that. So we probably have to create a new category for that.
Or if it was oil field equipment, it wouldn't be under equipment?
It would be under heavy equipment if it was something like that. Since it is the collateral type, what I would see for something oil and gas, it would either be tied to the equipment type or tied to the type of real estate that it was, and then we would list the oil and gas more likely under the repayment source.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions? All right. Resolution report. Thank you. Anything on the resolution report? Item F, Randy?
No, sir.
Okay. I do have a question on resolution 23-05. That asks.
Yes, sir. Those lease improvements were authorized, mainly the roof and the floor. In further negotiations with FedEx, their senior manager is taking over the negotiations from Memphis, Mr. John George, and Mr. George has come back and said that they are not interested in financing or paying for those improvements at this time. His concern on the floor is that the EPA has not settled on a remedy for PFAS yet. He wants to see what comes out of that regulatory process before they would commit to a major improvement. On the roof, he just said, unless there's a true life, health, safety concern, they're not interested at this time in contributing to pay for the roof. So we're having the roof inspected to make sure we know exactly what shape it's in, and get a report on it. If it's still in good status or just needs minor repairs, we'll make those repairs, but not go into a full, roof replacement.
Okay. So do we need to rescind that at a future date?
I'll have to review the resolution. I think it authorized those repairs but didn't mandate them. But I'll go ahead and review the resolution, and if we need to rescind, we'll go ahead and have that before the board.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Nothing more on INF? So I guess the next board meeting is September 21st. We do have a strategic planning center being set up for next week in Fairbanks. Next Saturday, I guess?
Friday.
Yeah. Okay. And at C, we've got people coming back on a whole bunch, going up at different times and coming back on different times. I'm understanding that for just the the record that the on Sunday, for those that are interested, the energy fair starts at 10, is over at 5, and that there's a VIP dinner at 6. So have we been invited to any of that stuff? We haven't? Okay. Back to the VIP dinner.
That's my knowledge.
Are you, would you follow up for that if that were?
Yes, I will.
Okay. That's on Sunday, I guess. Whether or not, you know, airline, well, that, whether or not schedules can, we can actually do that, or people can actually do that, or want to do that, that's a different story. I just wanted to make sure it was out there.
Okay.
Board comments. Any board comments? We'll start with Randy.
I'm just always impressed with the preparation that goes into what we receive as board members, and I'm really appreciative to you, Randy, and your staff, and how well they perform. I've always anticipated. It's a wonderful thing. Makes our job a lot easier. Thank you very much.
To the team.
Any question, board?
No, this is Andy. I just appreciate all of the effort, and like I said, really so grateful for the staff and hear really good things reported today, and I appreciate that. And if we could just incorporate, knowing that the Westview project is such a priority and so important for the state, if we could just incorporate that report out as a regular report out, I'd really appreciate it.
All right.
We can do that.
Well, I appreciate the staff and everybody and the trip that was put on, and you know, a lot of things going on, and obviously I'd like to see more opportunities come in the door some way, somehow. You know, so our commercial folks that are out there kicking the dirt, let's keep looking. We have money to invest on good projects. So I will note for our Commissioner of Commerce that it is 2:03, and I will ask for a motion for adjournment, since she said it was supposed to go till 2.
This is Bill Kennedy, move to adjourn.
Bill, give me more a second.
Is there any objection to adjournment at 2:03?
I very much appreciate the 2 adjournment.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Hi, guys.
So, let me just do that. 78.